Amen. Jesus is hands down the greatest teacher who ever walked on the face of the earth. He had the ability to communicate supernatural truth with just simple, ordinary objects. As we've studied together over the last few years, the Gospel of John, we've seen this happen over and over again, where Jesus would take just an ordinary common object, something that the disciples had seen all the time, something that people noticed every day, and Jesus would take that just ordinary object and he would communicate supernatural truth. We saw that in the Gospel of John, as at one place he took just a few loaves and a couple of fish. And with those few loaves and a couple of fish, Jesus taught the profound truth about the sufficiency of God and about his faithfulness. It was a lesson those disciples never forgot. Now, fish and bread is something they saw every day. And yet on that day, it took on a whole new meaning. At one point in the Gospel of John, we saw him do this with a towel and a bowl. He took just simply a towel and a bowl, and with those two ordinary objects, something that the disciples had seen every time they'd entered someone's home, every time they went in someone's home, there would be a towel and a bowl, and they would take that towel and bowl and wash their feet. Yet on this day, Jesus took those ordinary objects, and he left a profound impact on the life of his disciples. They learned something about servanthood and what it is to be a servant in the kingdom of God. Well, as we continue our study through the Gospel of John, we find Jesus doing that once again. Except this time, we don't find him with a towel or a bowl or fish and bread. We find him in a vineyard. It was a scene that was very familiar to every one of these disciples. It was a scene that, although you and I don't encounter very often, we have to drive to Northern California to really be exposed to a lot of vineyards. But in their day and in their life and in their culture, most every day they walked past or saw a vineyard. It was a very common sight, something they would see every day, not even give 2 seconds thought about. Yet on this day, Jesus is in this vineyard with his disciples. He takes a vine, some branches, some fruit. And with those simple, ordinary objects, he communicates again supernatural truth. We're looking at together a series out of John 15 as we continue our study together called Lessons from the Vineyard. We began it last weekend by looking at John 15, the first 8 verses, and we're going to look at those verses again today. But as we began last weekend looking at those, we noticed a repetitive phrase, and that repetitive phrase in those first 8 verses is bear fruit. Over and over and over again in John 15, we find the outcome of bearing fruit, that it is the desire of the Lord that our lives be fruitful. We even last weekend asked this question. We said, how many of us desire to bear fruit with our lives spiritually? And everyone in the building, I think, raised their hand and said, it is my desire as a Christian that my life be fruitful. And so we began to explore what it is to bear fruit in the life of a Christian. So let's read these verses again together, and we're going to pick up where we left off last week. John 15, beginning in verse number 1. Jesus said, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes it, so that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, so neither can you unless you abide in me. Verse 5 is the next verse. If you don't have a good memory verse right now, let me give you one. As we study these verses together, verse 5 is really a summary of everything that Jesus is saying in this passage. And I would encourage you, if you've never done it, to memorize John chapter 15 and verse 5. Look what it says. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Verse 6, if anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away as a branch and dries up. And they gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. My Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples. We looked at those eight verses last week. We're going to look at them again this week, and then again next weekend. Last week we asked the first question, if we understand that it is the desire of the Lord that our lives be fruitful, that our lives bear fruit, then the first question we need to ask is this: what is fruit in the life of a believer? I think there are a lot of people who misunderstand what fruit is in the life of a believer. But if every one of us this morning acknowledge the fact that it's our desire to bear fruit, that it is our desire to live a life that is fruitful for God's kingdom, then it's very important that we're able to define what fruit is in the life of a believer. And we did that last weekend. But I want to give you a quick review just in case you weren't here, and just by the remote possibility that someone has forgotten something that I might have said last weekend. Now, I know that you normally don't do that, and it helps me sleep at night to know that you remember everything that I say. But just in case, let me give you a quick review of where we were last weekend. Jesus told us last weekend in these verses four things that fruit is, that provides insight or clues as to what a definition of fruit is in the life of a believer. Here are those four things. Number one, fruit is the defining mark of a believer. We looked at that last weekend, and if you weren't here, you can go online on our website and you can hear what we said last weekend about that. Number two, fruit is a lifestyle characteristic. It's not done something every so often. It's a part of our regular lifestyle. Number three, fruit is evident in varying degrees. Not every believer produces the same amount of fruit. In Mark, Jesus said some 30, some 60, some 100-fold. The fourth is that fruit is that in the believer which glorifies the Father. We looked at that verse 8, last weekend very carefully, where Jesus said, "My Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit." The Father receives glory through our bearing fruit. Understanding those four things, here's the definition of what we said fruit is in the life of a believer. Fruit is Jesus Christ manifest in my life. That's fruit. Plain and simple, that's what it is. You see, the only thing in us that brings glory to the Father is Jesus in us. There's nothing about me that is pleasing to the Father. There's nothing about me that pleases God. The only way that my life glorifies and makes Him known is to the degree that Christ is made manifest in my life. And that's the distinctive mark of the believer. Fruit is Jesus Christ being made manifest in my life. Now, we said last weekend that this happens in two ways. First of all, it happens on the inside. We called it inner fruit. And we said that is to be conformed to His image. You see, when you entered into relationship with God, when you became a Christian, you did not just join a religion. You didn't just become a part of a practice. When you became a Christian, you entered into relationship with God, and the God of this universe came to live inside of you. The Holy Spirit of God now dwells in the life of a believer. And the Bible teaches us in Romans that we've been predestined to be conformed. God is in us at work, conforming us into the image of Christ. There's a changing process taking place on the inside of the believer. We've accepted a brand of Christianity that is foreign to the New Testament. The Bible knows nothing of a Christianity that is not producing change. The Bible says that if we're a Christian, the fruit of our life is Christ in us, changing us and conforming us into His image. But then we said, secondly, there's outward fruit. Not only is there inner fruit, there is outward fruit. You see, as He works in me to conform me to the image of His Son, then what comes out in my life is a transformed life. You see, as He works in me to conform me to His image, what then comes out in my life is not me. It's not even a better me. Hey, what the world needs is not a better you or a better me. What the world needs is Jesus. And the fruit of our lives is as we're in process of being conformed into the image of His Son. We're being changed on the inside to the point that it flows out of our lives so that what comes out of us is not us, but Christ in us. That's what fruit is. That's what it's all about as a believer. It's that process of being conformed into the image of Christ so that my life then is transformed. What comes out in me is not me, but Christ in me. Now, Understanding that, we introduced the second question last weekend. Now, we didn't spend a lot of time here. We didn't have any time left. But this weekend, I want us to focus on this question. And here was the question. What is the believer's role in bearing fruit? I mean, if bearing fruit is the defining mark of the lifestyle of a believer, and if bearing fruit is the only way that I can bring glory to God, then the natural question is, what do I have to do to bear fruit? Jesus answers that question 10 times in 6 verses. 10 times in 6 verses, Jesus tells us how to bear fruit. Here's the phrase: abide in me. Did you know that although Jesus mentions bear fruit several times in these verses, there's never a command to bear fruit? You know why? Because you and I can't do it. The only command in these verses is abide in me. The word abide means to remain or dwell. The point is this: the only thing I can do as a branch is hang on to the vine. We said last weekend that fruit is the life of the vine being manifest through the branches. The branch doesn't work hard. Listen, have you ever been out in a field? And seen a tree just working hard to bear fruit? I mean, have you been out there and seen a tree just going, nah? Doesn't happen, does it? I take it from your reaction that you've never seen that before. Why is that? Because a tree doesn't have to work hard to bear fruit. You see, as long as a branch abides in the vine, fruit comes out. It's natural. You see, we have a tendency as believers to begin to work hard at bearing fruit. Man, if fruit is the defining mark of my life as a believer, and if fruit is the only way that my life brings glory to God, then I'm going to try to work hard to bear fruit. And we get caught up in doing everything. A lot of times when somebody comes to know Christ as Lord and Savior, they become a Christian. You know what the first thing they do is? They sign up for everything at church. Why? Because we think, man, if Jesus has saved me, if He's changed my life, man, I got to do something. I got to get involved. I've got to begin to bear fruit. No, the point here is not focus on bearing fruit. The point here is focus on abiding in Him. And as I abide in Him, He will press His life out through my life. Last fall, we looked together at a series called The Life of a Jesus Follower. And in that series, we looked at the very first place where Jesus called disciples to Himself. What I'm talking about is not new. You see, sometimes Christians, we get into the church and we get so caught up in all the do's and don'ts. And then we hear a message like this and we go, man, that's awesome. That's new. That's great. But the tragedy is it's not new. It's the way Jesus started calling disciples to Himself. Go back to the very first place where Jesus called disciples to Himself in Mark chapter 3. We looked at this last year. The verses are on the screen up here behind me. And I want you to look at them with me. Mark chapter 3, the Bible says, "And He went up on the mountain and summoned those whom He Himself wanted. And they came to Him. And He appointed 12. Now I want you to read the next phrase with me. So that they would, what? Say it out loud. Now let that sink in. What did He call them to do? He didn't call them to do anything. He called them to be. You see, their focus was not on taking the gospel to the ends of the earth. Their focus was not on training leaders and planting churches. Their focus was not evangelism. Their focus was not service. Their focus was not good works. He said He summoned those so that they might be with Him. Now look at the next phrase. And that He could send them out to preach. Notice the they and the he. They were to what? Be. He would send them out to preach. The word preach here is an interesting word. It's not the word, when you hear the word preach, you think about what I'm doing this morning. You think about somebody with a Bible being real loud standing on a platform. But that's not the word preach here in these verses. This is literally the word that just simply means to make public. Here's the point. Jesus summoned these disciples to himself so that they could be with him. And out of the overflow of intimacy with him, he would send them out and make his life public through their lives. The only way for us to bear fruit is by abiding. That's why in verse number 5, Jesus said, I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do what? Nothing. In the Greek, it's literally a double negative. Now, in English, that's not very good. But in Greek, it's done for a reason. In English, it literally should be translated this way. For apart from me, you cannot do nothing. Now, that's terrible English. But it's good Greek. Here's why. In the Greek, they would add the double negative for emphasis' sake. Meaning this, we should literally translate that, for apart from me, you can do absolutely nothing. It's only out of the overflow of abiding with him. Their mission, our mission in life is to bear fruit, Jesus Christ manifest in my life. Then the focus of my life should not be on bearing fruit. The focus of my life should be on abiding in him. And as I abide in him, he bears fruit through my life. Now, with that, let me ask you three questions about abiding in him. First question is this. What does it mean to abide in him? I mean, that's one of those good Bible phrases that sounds real. Think about it. Abide in him. It sounds like something that if you listen to Christian radio very much, you hear D. James Kennedy on the radio. It sounds like something he ought to say. Abide in him. It's very somber. But what does it mean? I mean, it's one thing for us to come in here this morning and say, you know what, man, my focus is not going to be on doing. My focus is not going to be on bearing fruit. My focus is going to be on abiding in him. And you get up in the morning and go, what does that mean? Well, the word abide literally means to dwell or to live or to remain. A.T. Robertson, a great Greek scholar, says it means this. He says it means to abide is to maintain vital spiritual connection with Christ. Let me give you a definition of the word abide this morning. Here's what I believe the word abide means. To live life in constant fellowship with Jesus. Let me tell you what our tendency is. Our tendency is to put God in a box. For some this morning, you've got him in a weekend box. You come to church on a weekend so you can get filled up with God, because that's got to carry you through the whole week till next weekend when you can come back and be with God again. We put God in a weekend box. For some of us, we've got God in a building box, meaning that God's here and I got to get inside these four walls in order to enjoy fellowship with God. And so if I can't make it till next weekend, then I'll just come by here just to get in God's presence in the building. Some that maybe are a little further down the road have God in a morning box. Meaning that I begin every day in fellowship with God. I sit down to spend time with God in the morning, but then I got to go out on my own and live my life the rest of the day until I get back there in the morning to spend time with God. Our tendency is to put him in a box. But let me ask you a question this morning, thinking about the illustration Jesus uses. Does the branch abide in the vine some of the time or all of the time? Forget about what we're talking about spiritually. Just go to the vine and the branch. Step out into the vineyard with me this morning. Does the vine and the branch, does the branch abide in the vine some of the time or all of the time? Look at verses 4 and 5. abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, so neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for apart from me you can do nothing. The reality of Christ's invitation is that he has invited us into a moment-by-moment relationship where every second of every day is lived out of the overflow of my fellowship with him. A.W. Pink is a great writer of days gone by. Listen to what he said about this principle of abiding. He said, to abide in him is to have sustained, conscious communion with him. To abide in Christ signifies the constant, listen to this phrase, to abide signifies the constant occupation of the heart with him. Think about that. What if our heart was constantly occupied with the Lord Jesus Christ? I'm telling you, that'd change your life. You know my problem? My problem is there's parts throughout the day where my heart's not occupied with him. My heart is occupied with other stuff. And to the degree that my heart is occupied with him, he'll manifest his life through me. Pink went on and said this, it's a daily active faith in which, so to speak, maintains the dependency of the branch upon the vine and the circulation of the life of the vine in the branch. What does it mean to abide? It means to live life maintaining fellowship with Jesus. Well, how do you do that? Pastor, give me something practical this morning. How do I do that? Well, let me give you two practical suggestions. The first one is this. Establish a daily time with God. I want you to look this way, and if you don't hear anything else I say this morning, I want you to hear this next statement. Everybody look this way. There is no substitute. There is no substitute in the life of a believer for daily time spent with God. There's no substitute. You can't come to church and substitute for that. You can't go to small group and substitute for that. You can't read a good book. There is no substitute in the life of a believer for daily time spent with God. Listen to what Paul said in 1 Timothy chapter 4. Paul said, on the other hand, discipline yourself for the purpose of godliness. For bodily discipline is only of little profit. But godliness is profitable for all things, since it holds promise for the present life and also for the life to come. Paul says, discipline yourself for the purpose of godliness. One of those disciplines that we put into our lives as believers in order to see Christ's likeness formed in us is to spend time daily with God. Remember last year when we were going through that series, The Life of a Jesus Follower, we said over and over and over again, there are two goals for the Christian life. The overall goal of the Christian life is simply to know God. Can I tell you this morning, that's the big picture. Jesus said in John 17, 3, and this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. Let me tell you what your goal is as a Christian, to know God. It's not to know God's will. You know God, He'll fulfill His will through your life. It's just know Him. So if the big goal is to know Him, let me give you the daily goal, to spend time with Him. There's no substitute. Listen to the way Jesus said it in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 6. This is a paraphrase out of Eugene Patterson's The Message paraphrase of the New Testament. Listen to the way he says Matthew 6, 6. It's on the screen. Find a quiet, secluded place so you won't be tempted to role play before God. Just be there as simply and honestly as you can manage. The focus will shift from you to God, and you'll begin to sense His grace. There's no substitute. If you're not spending time with God on a daily basis, if you don't set aside some time every day, and let me encourage you this morning to set aside some time every morning. You say, wait a minute, does it have to be in the morning? I mean, I'm just not a morning person. Well, no, it doesn't have to be in the morning. But let me make this statement. I've studied the lives of dozens of believers whose life has borne much fruit. And I have never studied the life of a believer whose life bore much fruit who did not spend time with God in the morning. Maybe you know some. I don't know any. Jesus, He's our example. He would often get up before it was even daylight to slip away to spend time with the Father. This morning as you leave, last fall through that series, we prepared a DVD that's called The Practice of Spending Time with the Father. It's a little DVD that we've prepared, and it's at Grand Central. And as you leave, if you didn't get one last fall, we don't have a lot. So if you already have one, don't take another one. But if you didn't get one last fall, it's a little 25-minute DVD that I've prepared to sit down with you in the morning and just walk you through exactly how you can spend time with God on a daily basis. So I want to invite you this morning, if you don't have that, pick it up on your way out. It's free. It doesn't cost anything. Just pick one up there at Grand Central. Just take it with you because you need to establish daily time with God. The second practical suggestion is this. Practice constant conversation with God. Paul said it this way, pray without ceasing. Does that mean that I'm to be 24/7 on my knees with my hands folded, my eyes closed, praying? No, here's what that means. It means you maintain constant conversation with the Lord. Don't leave Him at church on Sunday. Don't leave Him in that place where you have your quiet time on Tuesday. Take Him with you all day. Listen, let me tell you what the reality is. The reality is you spend time with God every day. He's with you all the time. But do you live in the awareness of that? There's a man in the 1600s named Brother Lawrence who wrote a book called The Practice of the Presence of God. Listen to what he said. That practice, which is the most needful in the spiritual life, is the practice of the presence of God. It is the schooling of the soul to find its joy in His divine companionship. Do you walk in fellowship with God throughout the day? Here's the last question. What difference does this make in my life? Well, Jesus told us in John 15. He said there are two outcomes for your life and mine. The first one is verse 5. I am the vine, you're the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit. Here the Bible says, as you and I focus, Jesus said to his disciples, as you focus on abiding in me, as you focus on intimacy with me, then I'll be at work in you to change you on the inside so that what comes out on the outside is not you, but me in you, my life being made manifest through your life. And so one option for the believer is we focus on abiding and we live a life of fruitfulness. And I promise you this morning, if you'll focus on abiding in Christ, that one day you'll stand before our Lord and He'll say, well done. Well done. But verse 6 tells us that there's another option for the believer. Look at verse 6. With this, I'm finished. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away as a branch and dries up. And they gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. Anybody like to explain that this morning? What does that mean? Well, there's an interesting characteristic of the branch of a vine. Listen to the way one writer said it. The wood of the vine has the curious characteristic that it is good for nothing. It is too soft to use for any purpose. The only thing that could be done with wood pruned out of a vine was to make a bonfire of it. Here's the point. If a branch on a vine isn't bearing fruit, it's useless. It has no other value. It's too soft to be used for anything else. All you can do is cast it to the side and let it be burned up with the trash. Child of God, if the focus of your life is anything but abiding in Him, your life will be useless for His kingdom's sake. Here Jesus is with His disciples. He's about to leave and ascend back to heaven. He says to the men, abide in me. If you'll abide through your life, I'll manifest my life and bear much fruit for the glory of God. But guys, if you don't abide, you're like that branch. Useless. See, we have the opportunity, according to Paul in Corinthians, to be a vessel. Paul said we have this treasure in earthen vessels. The word earthen vessel means clay pot. Tell you what you and I are. We're just clay pots. You can tell you the first step to bearing fruit, realize you're just a branch. A branch that apart from the life of the vine, that is absolutely worthless. You and I bring no value to God's kingdom except to the degree that we have this treasure. And then we become a vehicle through which God manifests His glory to the ends of the earth. Let's pray together this morning. Father, we bow in Your presence. Lord, we thank You for Your word today. God, this morning I pray that You would change us through Your word. God, I pray You bring about a transformation in our lives. This morning, with your heads bowed and eyes closed, I want to ask you a few questions to help you apply what we've heard this morning. The first question is simply this: is your life bearing fruit? Is there a change taking place on the inside that is spilling out on the outside? Is Christ manifesting His life through you? If you're not bearing fruit this morning, the first question you need to ask is, am I really a Christian? Am I really a disciple? Because it's the defining mark of the lifestyle of the believer. Do you have religion, or do you have a relationship with God through Jesus Christ? If this morning you don't have a relationship with God, in just a moment our praise team is going to lead us in a song of worship, and we're going to stand together. And while we're singing, some of our pastoral team is here at the front, and some of our prayer volunteers are along the back. And if God's spoken to you this morning and you would like to become a Christian, you'd like to give your life to Christ, while we're singing, slip out of your seat. You can come to the front to one of these pastors. We invite you to go to the back to one of these prayer volunteers and just say to them today, I would like to become a Christian. I want to enter into a relationship. I've had religion. I want a relationship. And they'll show you exactly from God's word how to give your life to Christ and be saved. But maybe you're here and you're already a Christian. You have a relationship with God, but you're not seeing the fruit of Christ in your life. Let me ask you another question. Are you abiding in the vine? Are you maintaining fellowship with Jesus? Or do you have Him in a box? Do you spend time with God daily? Do you practice the discipline of spending time with Him on a day-by-day basis? And lastly this morning, do you practice constant communion with God? Do you talk to Him throughout the day? Do you carry on conversation? Every moment of your life has the opportunity to be spent with God. This morning you're a Christian and you just need to pray with someone while we're singing, you feel free to slip out of your seat and come to the front of the back and talk to one of these pastors or prayer volunteers and say, I just need to pray with you today. And they'll pray with you and give you counsel from God's word. Father, would you use this time for your glory? We give it to you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's